Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly podcast you need.
Yes.
I'm trying to shorten it. Did that work?
Yes. That's short and concise. That's all we need to know.
Perfect. My name is Caroline.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're so glad that you joined us today.
Yes. We have a pretty cool show today I'm excited about.
Yeah. It's a three-parter.
We've got some gossip about the AMAs and what's going on. We have book club.
Yep.
All This Could Be Yours. And then we have Frozen 2.
Yes.
At the end. So, yes.
Buckle up.
Let's hit it.
All right. Well, the AMAs were last night, as you mentioned. And, you know, I think the last award show, I can't remember, what was it People's Choice Awards that left me feeling old and isolated?
Yes.
I'm back. I'm
feeling,
AMAs helped me right back into what I needed.
Remember that you're young and hip.
That's exactly right. The thing that I always need. So Taylor Swift surpassed Michael Jackson to become the most AMA winning artist.
Oh.
And kind of in the midst of a lot of turmoil for her.
Right.
She performed a medley of her biggest hits.
Right.
And there were lots of question marks about whether she was going to do that or not. Have you been following that drama?
A little bit, but run it down for me. I've read some pieces here and there. I read a couple things you sent last week, I think.
Yeah. So we talked a while ago about her feud with Scooter Braun over owning her catalog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she came out on Tumblr or Instagram or a combo of both, maybe 2 weeks ago or last week, basically putting him and Scott Borchetta, who sold her catalog, on blast, saying that they had not given her permission to perform her own music at the AMAs of the songs that they own of hers, because they would consider that her re-recording her originals, which would be in violation of their ownership of her music. Furthermore, it had forced her to pre-announce what would have been a surprise Netflix documentary about her, because again, they had told her she could not use her own music. And she was like, well, I'm making a documentary about my life and I can't use most of my work.
Right.
So anyway, there's been lots back and forth about that. Scooter Braun is trying to play the good guy of like, hey, I'm trying to call you and talk about this. We don't need to do it over social media. She's feeling like that's not the case.
She's the only person I know who's like delivering news via Tumblr.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Good on her. So given what Scooter said, I think that we can agree that we don't like Scooter Braun.
Sure.
However, I don't necessarily disagree with him of this doesn't have to be handled over social media.
Right.
But do you feel like she's employing social media the right way to exact change? He's saying that because she's taken to social media, her fans are like calling his wife and leaving death threats.
Which I fully believe.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, I believe that.
Yeah.
So do you feel like it is over the top for her to be addressing this on social media? Or do you think it's important that she is sharing about it?
I thought the first issue was important for her to share about, because her having her catalog sold apparently out from under her, it was important for her to talk about that, like, treatment and in the industry. Even then, I think people were still rabid and, like, approached it completely incorrectly and, like, were attacking his wife.
Because
I remember reading something from her then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who are, you know, like, the people who are, like, big stars and have, like, stands.
Right.
Like, it's like they go way too far when reading about, like, something that might be done to their icon.
Right. I feel that way if anything ever were to happen to Amy Grant.
Good thing she's pretty much played it low-key and not on social media as much.
Yeah, not as much.
Is she on social media?
Yeah, obviously, at Amy Grant Official.
Okay. But anyway, I don't know. I didn't know how I felt about this, because when I read that she like came for them again on Tumblr, which I'm like, okay.
Maybe it's a character
like
issue.
Ever heard of WordPress? I don't. But like right after that, he was like, wait, no, you can play your music. It was a little confusing to me.
Yeah, he kind of like, so he ended up kind of blaming Scott Borchetta and saying like that he didn't like how it had been handled by him.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just kind of all a mess. But even in the article about her performing her medleys, it doesn't really show what the resolution was. I mean, obviously she was able to play them.
Right. And I just remember seeing it, like, shortly after that, it was like, now Taylor Swift can play her hits. So I'm like, okay, so, was that because she made a big deal about it? And by a big deal, I mean, that sounds a bit pejorative, but, like, when was it because she came for them publicly, or was it, like, the way he was saying it didn't sound like that was it at all.
Yeah, it is interesting because, you know, she's accused him of bullying, but she is passively bullying by knowing that it is going to incite her fans to make these big
and
sweeping
also
threat.
Knowing that I've seen people try and control their fans, for lack of a better word, when they, you know, people just go crazy on the internet, like attacking people for no reason, or like turning to bullying, being like weirdly aggressive. Then knowing that you have fans like that, I wonder if she's now kind of like, well, you people screwed me, I'm gonna use it
right
however, like, I don't really care anymore,
like retaliatory,
right? Because to be fair, other people's actions are not her responsibility, but she does know what's going to happen. She knows people are crazy, so it's kind of her, like, you knew when you put this out there people were going to attack him and his family,
right?
I don't know.
Well, also making news at the AMAs, Kesha made her first live performance in 6 years after...
She performed live, like, last year.
At the AMAs. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yep. She made a triumphant return to the stage, according to Us Weekly.
Nice.
Did you follow all of the Kesha drama?
Last year, yes.
So she has a new single out called Raising Hell.
Oh, I love it. It's actually on my workout list.
Oh, good. Yeah, so she performed that last night and also gave a throwback performance of TikTok, which I was just glad to see her.
That's, like, ever since last year... when all that came out about her producer, which you haven't followed that story, she was saying that she was multiple times,
yes,
like over the course of her career by
Dr. Luke,
her producer. And it made me really conflicted to, like, listen to her old stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was like, he produced this and he's making money off of me liking this music, which she says was made under these situations where she felt like she just was obviously, like, spiraling because of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Consistent sexual assault and stuff like that. So her single, or her performance of Praying last year, wasn't it last year?
Yep.
Was so powerful.
At the Grammys.
Yes, yeah. At the Grammys. So I just thought that was a really powerful way for her to take control of her life, and then to get all these other, like, strong women up there with her.
Yep.
So.
Well, she kind of, in an empowered way, threw back to that song, and apparently I didn't watch it, but apparently the audience freaked out.
Oh, really?
Which it was, I think, really exciting for her.
Yeah, I've liked to see what she's been able to do, like, even with all of the struggles she went through early on in her career.
Okay, so speaking of sexual assault, music, and some kind of fuzzy areas.
Sure.
R. Kelly's girlfriend.
Yes.
Came out this week to talk about how she is a victim of him as well.
Jocelyn something, right?
Yes. However, I want to talk about the way that she did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She didn't do a sit-down interview. Instead, she started a Patreon for people to pay a membership fee to hear her talk about it. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I did think it was interesting. Like, she's clearly been Stockholm syndromed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because her parents and the parents of at least one or two other people were saying in the past, like, our daughters are living with him. They are being mistreated. He's, like, also sexually assaulting them, stuff like that. And they were at the time they were like, no, we're fine. Everything's fine.
Yep.
And then now she's like, no, it wasn't fine this whole time. When I read, like, her saying that, I was like, well, this is interesting. Because to me, I'm like, well, someone's obviously just going to share that. Like BuzzFeed, Us Weekly, all these outlets are just going to share what she says.
Right.
But then I'm like, I wonder if she's trying to just kind of take control of the situation and say, this happened to me, I'm going to make money from it.
Yeah.
As a bit of a, like, feeling like she has more control over her own life again.
Yeah, because even in her statement, she was like, you know, I stayed because he was paying me.
And she said that he had, didn't she say, she was the one who said he had people, like, watching her all the time. Like, she couldn't have left as well. Like, when she showered, someone was, like, waiting right outside.
Yeah. I did think it was an interesting choice to share it via Patreon. Not because I agree or disagree, but I do think that it positions her in a light that feels
opportunistic.
I was going to say exploitative, but opportunistic is a better word. Versus like a sit down, which she would have been compensated for anyway.
I was
going
to say, she could have just like gone to an outlet and charged.
For sure. And so it felt like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's empowering that you are creating something to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not, to me, further like championing a victim when it feels as though the victim is using their story in a way to build their own brand or something.
Right.
I don't know.
It just feels like someone should have been like, you can make more money and do this one time and be done with it.
Yeah, in a way that doesn't feel like you're exploiting yourself in milking your own story.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
I guess I have no thoughts on her exploiting herself, because I feel like whatever she's doing based on her feelings about her experiences.
Sure.
And probably she's also at this point pretty close to the situation still. Like, she's not that far removed from this being her reality.
Yeah.
So I think it might be that she were to make a different decision later. That was incredibly grammatically correct, and I know that.
Oh, it's okay.
But just, I don't know. I don't blame her. I don't think anything negatively about how she chooses to tell her story. I just think business-wise, like, she should have an agent saying,
totally,
you could maybe make some more money if you were to do this one time. I mean, she could probably, honestly, with R. Kelly, she could probably get like
$1 million.
I was gonna say, like, any, even like news organization.
Oh,
like, not even like a gossip.
No,
out like rag, you know.
I'm sorry, don't call them rags. They are publications, and I read them every day. They're part of my daily reads. I don't want to minimize her story or her experience, but I did think that the choice to drop Patreon episodes did make me do that.
Is it going to be like a podcast?
No.
Is it going to be like published work? Like, like written work? Because literally, if she does that, people are just going to screenshot it and share it.
For sure. And it does, it to me, though, it's like, okay, Corey Feldman.
Yes.
Okay. Every couple years, he does this kind of thing, too. Of, and again, I'm not trying to minimize her experience.
Right.
But he talks frequently about how he was abused by many of Hollywood's top people.
Right.
And every time he needs to make some money, he'll say, like, give me money so I can finish writing my book or creating my documentary where I'll be naming names. But he never names names. It's like,
oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of like,
I didn't know that about him.
Okay, let me like drum up this interest in business again without telling you more.
Right.
And it does feel a little bit like, subscribe to my Patreon so you can hear me tell you what it was like. I don't know. Something just feels a little off. But again, maybe part of it is because as a business decision, it seemed like the hardest way to go.
Yes, it does. Because, I mean, speaking from a position where I have not been through like that kind of trauma myself, but having read a lot of people's experiences with it, it seems like that would be the longest, hardest way to relive all of your trauma.
Yeah, totally.
I was just thinking, I could totally see her on like Red Table Talk.
Oh,
On a completely different, not news outlet way. I could just see her doing something like that and reliving it and being able to like be in her emotions and be seen and heard.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a route that it's one of those things where I wonder what the like founders of Patreon are like, you know, the company owners, like, if they're like,
all right, well, let's like realign our business strategy. Right. Quite like,
cause like, you know how people come out and be like, we don't like the, when someone, not that this is that situation at all, but someone who's like garbage will like tag another company or like use a company.
Oh yeah.
Like when, at the alt-right rally in Charlottesville when they used tiki torches.
Right.
And Tiki Torch was like, the company was like, we actually completely disavow this. Right. And then like other people like in a completely less serious manner in stories have come about saying like, as a joke, we would like to be excluded from this narrative. Yes. Like, I'm wondering if they're like, but I don't know. I mean, I don't wonder if they care.
I don't know. But anyway, I just thought it was an interesting vehicle for her to choose to tell her story. But it is. I mean, more power to her for breaking free of that clearly very abusive relationship.
Yes, 100%. And I do wonder if we'll see, like, for sure, news outlets would have been knocking at her door after she released that information. So I kind of wonder if absolutely. We'll see that play out, or if she will just go the interview route.
Yeah, I don't know.
R. Kelly is garbage, and he needs to, like, he needs to have people telling the truth about him so he can appropriately answer for those crimes.
Yeah, because very Epstein-like, he has somehow evaded
yes.
true for accountability years. For it. For years, it's like this open mm-hmm. thing, though I do love Remix to Ignition.
That's the thing. It's like, it's like the worst. But I mean, the powerful men are always going to have the thing that makes them likable.
Yeah, that's true. That's
powerful garbage men, I should say. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, so I have one more thing for you.
Okay.
I think one more. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Meghan Markle is really shaking things up. She has announced that she and Harry will not be spending Christmas with the royal family.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
My thoughts about the royal family are I feel very badly for Meghan Markle and Kate
Middleton.
I'm not, like, obsessed with the royals, but I typically, when a story comes out about them, I'm interested in it. Yes. Just because go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I agree with you.
Okay. because, especially the two of them, I mean, she, I know, was not, like, a commoner when she married him. Like, she comes from, like, a family high. I guess it's just such a different lifestyle. Like, I'm, like, as much as I'm, like, kind of fascinated by it, every time I get fascinated, I remember that, like, people pay their tax dollars to help them all live this life. So, like, it's, like, wait, you're paying for these people to live in opulence? Okay.
Yeah, but also you're paying for your own entertainment.
Yeah. I would be much happier just paying for an Us Weekly subscription, but...
Which
you do as well. but anyway, with Meghan Markle especially, I'm always, like, she really... fell in love with Harry.
Yeah.
And she must feel...
Allegedly.
She has to love him to go through...
all of this.
Yeah, because, like, she really had to weigh all that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of us grew up on these movies, like, what's that Julia Stiles one? A Prince and...
The Prince and Me.
The Prince and Me, yes.
Excellent movie.
It is. I loved it. A lot of us grew up on those... that story.
Yeah.
But, like, in reality... And you know, you think like, oh, I wish I could marry a prince. I remember thinking like, oh, wow, Grace, her name, did it. Yes, thank you. But then it's like, I would not want any part of actually being married to a prince.
Totally.
It looks like garbage, just as a theme of this episode. And
you get great clothes.
But even
and that's
still,
about it.
That's it. But also, even with the clothes, you have a dress code.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I remember reading stuff after she got married about stuff she could no longer wear, do, be.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, that is incredibly confining.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, like, she has to love him. And I always feel like, you know, the second she got married, maybe they don't like each other, Kate and Meghan. And honestly, like, it's absurd the way they're, like, pitted against each other. Because not everyone has to like each other.
Right.
Like, they're just constantly made to be enemies in the press. Like, even if they wanted to like each other, I feel the world is not going to let them be sisters-in-law. And I do think it's interesting to see how it's come out that, I guess, William said to Harry, you shouldn't get married so quickly.
Yeah.
Which is a bit rich. Like, he was with Kate for eight years. But to be
Katie.
Wow.
But did you know that? That's what the British press tagged Kate Middleton as Waity Katie, just that's waiting around.
Good
for,
one. Good one, England.
Yeah, really good. Okay. I'm available. So just email me at a good idea pod.
You didn't have to go that route. You could have avoided all that. But, I'm like, you people were teenagers, like, basically, when you got together. So, obviously, like, he was 38 when he met her, or 35. He was at a different place in his life. Like, he's ready to settle down. You obviously weren't ready to settle down. You were still partying. What an idiot thing to say.
Like, I do think it's interesting that they, Harry and Meghan, have tried so hard, seemingly, to be more transparent in the press. Like,
yes.
Even after their documentary, and apparently there will be a U.S. version coming out because they are house shopping in California.
Yes, come back home, Meghan.
who. But they want to make the U.S. their home.
Yeah, no surprise. No one there is like cool. Okay, that is such a broad statement. But yeah, she's just
all of you British people. Yeah. I hope you just heard Hannah say none of you are cool.
She just maligns so much from what I hear. Like people, and a lot of people are like the press is like blatantly racist about her. Especially. Totally.
And that's why I think they've really tried to break that fourth wall and talk to the press.
Right.
And Harry acknowledged, like, yeah, my relationship with my brother has changed.
Right.
And it's not, like, it's been difficult.
Right.
But he's still my brother, and that will never change, and my love for him won't change.
Right.
But I thought it was very, it was an interesting and surprising move for him to acknowledge that.
Yeah. And I liked it because there are so many things that are said about them, like, especially them. I mean, anyone in the public eye.
Yeah.
But they especially are rumored about and all of this. And there's so many moves that they made that were just maligned in such a completely, like, even them, Harry and Meghan, moving to start a new life on their own in a different place. It was like, they're splitting up when it's like, that's an obvious logical move. And you're putting, maybe they don't love being together with like all four of them, but like, even best case scenario, which newlyweds would want to stay like in a house with four people? I don't care if it is a mansion, like everyone wants their own house, especially when you're starting off as a couple like that. To me, I'm always like, of course they're moving to get like their own life. Like he's no longer like the single tag along third wheel. Like now he has a life and he can build his own family. And
I do love headlines though, because when they announced that they would be spending Christmas with Meghan's mom, a follow-up headline was like, Queen disappointed in decision. And I'm like, well, this is not news. Like, of course any family member would be disappointed that their family is spending time with somebody else. Like,
That's funny. I read that she was fine with the decision.
Oh, that's really interesting. But like this Thanksgiving, my sister is spending Thanksgiving with her in-laws, and my brother isn't coming home.
Yes.
I'm disappointed they're not coming. Right. That means nothing.
Exactly. I'm also not seeing some of my family for Thanksgiving, and I'm like, of course I'm disappointed, but you have other family.
Yeah.
They are disappointed. I will be seeing you for Christmas.
We're not feuding.
Stupid headline.
We're not feuding much about it.
Right. Much, but some, Annabeth.
Some, Annabeth. jerk. But, you know, I can tell you that I can relate a lot to Meghan right now.
Naturally.
I
see a lot of similarities in your paths in life.
I hear that often. But I was out in public yesterday. It was recognized again.
I gotta get out in public more.
I know. It's weird.
As soon as I say that, I'm like, nope.
It's weird. I mean, I know you're recognizing the cul-de-sac, but I was out and about yesterday doing some work at a boutique that I do work for. And Nancy, one of our listeners, came and said hello.
Oh, that's awesome. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. But she approached and said, are you Caroline? And I was like, what did I do? Like, I was
am I
like,
being served?
It depends,
who
Nancy
wants to know? I've always wanted to say that.
Anyway, she was completely lovely and also gave me the best in-law gift suggestion.
Okay.
An older parent gift suggestion.
Okay.
It's basically a 12 days of Christmas situation that you compile. So you send it to them. So for 12 days, they have little things to open. instead of like maybe one big gift that they're like hard to buy for, they would buy all for themselves.
Right.
So she was at the boutique grabbing things that they could open, and she was like, you know, you can fill some with like a little gift card to like Chick-fil-A, and then some are like little items like tea and whatever. So they have the experience of looking forward to a gift every day for 12 days leading up to
Christmas.
That's
a good idea for anyone who you're having trouble finding a gift for. Nancy, thank you for that. Well, regarding you being out in public and me not being out in public, I guess I don't see that changing, because Saturday when it was pouring down rain, you were alone with your three children as every Saturday, and I was in my pajamas in my house.
I'm
with
so glad you're telling
my
story.
Two children and my other partner in life at home, who is home at all the time. I did use you to get my groceries, get a birthday gift for a party, and all of these things. So I guess I don't know that I see myself getting out all that much more when you are already out and can do all of my things for me.
Not only did you ask me to do those things for you, you made it so high maintenance. I'm sorry, your husband made it so high maintenance.
Premaratnas are not low maintenance.
No, that is 100% correct. So As I was at the gym with my three children alone, Hannah texted me and said, are you getting out to a real grocery store today in the pouring rain with my three children under five alone?
If you were already doing it, I don't see why I couldn't add on some items.
Some items that then ended up with photos back and forth.
Yeah.
And then pricing back and forth, and then a cancellation of the order. Anyway,
I appreciate your help.
Yeah, sure. I do appreciate being needed. So it was really mutually beneficial.
Well, on that note, my self-shaming, which I will fully own and apologize for, but also probably not act differently in the future.
Don't worry about it. Don't change it.
We will take a quick break and then come back and discuss all this could be yours. Okay, we're back, and we read All This Could Be Yours by Jamie Attenberg this month.
Yes.
And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was great, and it was a change of pace from what I would have normally picked.
It was right up my alley.
Okay.
Like, for me. Like, when I read it, I was like, oh, this is perfect for me.
Here's what I thought about it.
Okay.
I mean, I really, really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of having just watched the show Succession.
Okay.
I kept picturing it more as a TV show than a book.
I was thinking of it as a TV show as well.
So I was really into it. But even while I was reading it, I was like, I think that this is right up my alley for something I would watch.
Yeah.
Not as much something that I would typically read. But it's not a bad thing.
If HBO doesn't pick this up, specifically HBO, I will be very surprised.
The only thing that wouldn't surprise me about it is because it feels a lot like Succession. Like,
oh, does it?
I kept picturing the characters of Succession as the characters in this book.
I finished it last night.
Okay.
I try and read our book club picks like later so that I can, our community reads, so I can, like in the month, so I can follow along. And you finished last night too, I think.
Yeah. So I mostly finished.
Right.
This one was not available via Kindle.
Yeah. And I had to buy it.
Yeah. I kept thinking I could make it to the library to get a copy.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't available. Then I couldn't get to the library. So I was late to get it.
Right.
And then as much as I did like it, I found myself skipping some sections.
Right.
I may not have done that if I didn't have the deadline of recording. But.
Well, I liked that, but I will say that's one of the things about Kindle is that you can't flip back. Because, like, you know, it was chapter perspectives.
Yes.
Which I liked. But then I'm like, wait. In the beginning, I'm like, wait, was Alex the same one? And then I'm like, who's mm-hmm. Corey? Like, I kept waiting for Corey to come back around.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, two chapters, I think.
Yeah, he did. And then I felt like maybe I missed a big plot point with him later when I skipped a
chapter. I know.
Chapter and
I was sure we were going to find out. Because I didn't realize he lived in New Orleans.
Oh,
so
right.
So I thought, oh, this is going to be his, like, love child in Manhattan.
Because he's the one who attended to Victor when he had his heart attack. He was the EMT.
Okay.
So that's how he was introduced into the story.
Oh, okay. And then later on, Sharon is the one who he was in the mortuary or whatever with her.
Yes. Who he was trying to get to let him move
right.
in.
Right. One storyline that I have always thought was interesting, and I've always thought, like, I kind of want to write it, but I could never figure out how, and she did it perfectly, was, like, the idea that when you're walking through life, someone, like, anyone, almost like the idea of a story, like, leaping into, like, another person you just cross paths with.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I like how she seamlessly did that. And even when, like, someone was walking, like, through the hospital corridor, the mom constantly walked. And,
yes.
like, all of a sudden the perspective would shift to this man in a wheelchair.
Yep.
Not for any reason other than to just talk about someone else being there. And, like, I like that because I'm always thinking of that perspective of, like, everyone else is the main character of a whole other story about them. You never know what's going on in someone else's life.
Not to, like, make myself seem super deep and insightful, but, I mean, I guess I am. speaking of leaping stories, let me tell you what I was thinking.
Yes.
I do remember very clearly, and this may make me sound like a complete something.
Let's
I don't know.
Hear it.
Fill in the blank. I remember very vividly, like, around the time I started driving,
mm-hmm.
realizing as I was sitting in traffic, thinking about, like, the music I was listening to, what was going on, everyone else in the car around me was equally as invested in their own lives. And, like,
yes.
they are,
I
like,
have had that same thought many
yeah,
times, starting, like, from when I started to drive.
Yeah, they are faceless to me, or,
right.
like, I'll look over, they mean nothing to me except being at a traffic light, but I am that to them, and
yeah.
they are going on to whatever life they're going on to.
Yes.
And it made me feel so it felt so surreal or something.
Yes,
that I was like
exactly.
a part of this universe
right.
that they don't know.
Right, exactly. You have so much going on in your life and you're like, oh, this red
it feels
Toyota.
So important.
Right. Like, get out of my way. But then like they are making a left and going on about their life
yeah.
and their whole universe is unfolding completely differently than your it's a very weird, surreal feeling.
And to think of like everyone that we live in the same city with that we'll never see again, but mm-hmm. like we see at intersections.
Yes.
But I think that on my way to work too, because you know, if you go on a commute of any variety to preschool or work or whatever, if you leave at the same time, you do start to see the same cars and you're like,
yeah.
I wonder what part
right.
of your day this is, you know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I thought she, Jamie Attenberg, was really good at capturing that.
Totally.
And
should we pause and give a synopsis of what the book is about?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you do that, obviously?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to also let Amazon do that.
Okay. I will say it's based on the synopsis I read. It was not exactly what I had expected.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So Amazon compares it to Big Little Lies in the heat of New Orleans summer. Would you agree with that?
No.
I wouldn't either. So screw you, Amazon. but it says Alex, how did you pronounce her last name? Tuchman.
But also I didn't care about her. Like when the couple times it said the last name, I had to remember.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, their last
name. It never, like, lodged in my head.
Yeah.
Alex Tuchman, a strong-headed lawyer, loving mother, and daughter of Victor, a power-hungry real estate developer, and by all accounts, a bad man. Now that Victor is on his deathbed, Alex feels she can finally unearth the secrets of who he is and what he did over the course of his life and career. She travels to New Orleans to be with her family, but mostly to interrogate her tight-lipped mother, Barbara. As Barbara fends off Alex's unrelenting questions, she reflects on her tumultuous life with Victor. Meanwhile, Gary, Alex's brother, is incommunicado, trying to get his movie career off the ground in L.A. His wife, Twyla, is having a nervous breakdown, buying up all the lipstick in drugstores around New Orleans and bursting into crying fits. Dysfunction is at its peak.
Yeah, I guess I really thought there would be some, because they make a big deal in that first line being like, it's about the secrets of his past.
Right.
The secrets of his past are revealed pretty much right away.
Oh, totally.
It's much more about everyone dealing with their different relationships. And you kind of see like how dysfunction plays out in different ways. And it was a good example to me of like, even kind of like the ways that kids are in regards to their parents, either opposite or the same.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I saw it a lot too as, what grief does, but not just grief and loss. I think
yes.
there is many people live a day-to-day grief with their family members still alive. You know, I think
yeah,
part of
yeah.
like what Alex and Gary deal with from children through where they are and why they feel so questionable about Victor's demise.
Right.
Is they've been grieving who he would or would not have been to them.
Right.
And same with Alex to Barbara.
Right.
Like hoping for this thing that has never materialized in their life.
Yeah. And I also think, I like the way that like Alex comes to say goodbye because she feels like she has to come and
yeah,
say goodbye.
Obligated.
And I like that Gary never came.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's this thing like you have to say goodbye or else, you know, you only get one dad.
Yeah.
Which that while that's true, everyone doesn't deserve those same levels. Like if someone has been a crappy person to you,
yeah.
you don't owe them anything. And I think I'm glad that they kept Gary in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I didn't really like the character of Gary, but I thought
yeah.
that Jamie did
they played on him a lot less than I thought they would.
Yeah, she did a great job of getting into his mind of even him feeling like, I should do this, and the
right.
conflict, and then he's like, oh, I meant to, and then it just never
yeah.
happened, because, you know, even Alex would be like, well, Gary said he would come when he's able to catch a flight, and you think about it, like, L.A. to New Orleans is a very catchable flight.
Right.
And he just
right
he didn't
yeah I thought the phone call between the two of them
mm-hmm.
played out very well. I like that it takes place over like the course of a day,
yeah,
like in all these people, and especially like two of the main characters just basically like, drinking away their sorrows.
Yes.
Twyla and Alex.
I really liked Twyla.
I thought she was such an interesting character.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel so. I thought when I picked up this book, it was going to be one of those things where you figure out something near the very end.
Yes, totally.
But, you know, really reading into it and seeing even Barbara, she was not a character, like, while she was in an incredibly abusive relationship,
mm-hmm.
it was still not the same way you, like, I appreciated it in that it gave a different, outlook on basically victims to
totally
me.
But I yeah totally because I felt like she kind of was eyes wide open a little bit, like she was escaping what was seemingly an abusive upbringing
mm-hmm.
and she knew what she wanted and found it in Victor.
Right.
And also didn't seem to, like, justify him. I mean, in her, like,
right.
thoughts to herself, she's like, Alex doesn't really want to know all these details.
Right.
I knew them, and, like, I just chose.
Right, well, right, right.
I don't think that she really had the strength to leave regardless, but she also didn't really seem to want to.
Right, exactly. And as well, you can kind of, you know, by the time he dies, she's in her 60s or early 70s.
She was 68.
So you can kind of, while she is an abused and disrespected person, she's also like, what else would I do at this point? I'm not going to leave. You know, like when they have to leave Connecticut and her friends are like, oh, you're going to leave him, obviously. She's thinking, no, I'm not going to leave. Like,
Why would I leave?
Yeah.
There's a scene in which she's even wrestling while she's walking in the hospital of whether 68 is old or not.
Mm-hmm.
When she sees the man in the wheelchair.
Yes.
She's like, he's definitely old. And yes. She's like, I'm 68. Am I old?
Yeah.
I'm probably old.
Yeah. It was just a very interesting outlook. And it was an interesting outlook on someone who's with an abuser and why they stay.
Yeah.
And her protecting Alex by saying, you can never hit her. Hit me instead. Yes. It was awful to read, but then also, like, in her mind, she was empowered.
Right. Like, for her, she was controlling him in
yes,
that way.
Yes, yes. You know, she saw that as, like, her being, like, the one person who could settle him down. And it really wasn't until he ends up sleeping with her daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
And she finds out about it that she truly gives up on him.
Right.
So, I thought that was interesting. And I think you kind of know from the beginning there's something going on between the two of them.
Yes.
When Twyla's so upset.
Yes. And, like, reading the Bible to him by his bedside by herself.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And you can almost, like, Twyla is just such a character who's just almost, like, lost in herself and in her child that it's, like, you can kind of.
She was not the most relatable character to me, but she was my favorite character in the book because she was also so not like she seemed throughout it.
Right.
And I thought that she had more depth, but I just was really into her storyline to uncover what was going on.
Exactly.
And her marriage with Gary. I mean, it was all just so interesting.
She was the only storyline where you really had to figure out what was going on. And
totally.
That's like what I was looking for in the book. So that's, I think, why I liked her storyline the most.
I agree.
It's because I knew something happened, but I'm like, what is it? Is he really Alex or the daughter's father? Or like, what's going on? I liked the way they portrayed the young girls.
I thought she did an excellent job with Sadie and Avery.
Yeah, and I also liked that she made Victor, like, complicated. Like, he had kind of a good relationship with the one granddaughter.
Yeah, that was a surprising move that I like how she wrote. Was it Sadie or Avery? I can't remember.
I think Avery.
Avery
was the one he had the relationship with.
That both grandparents would pick her up and spend the day with her, and Barbara, like, could. She even said, like, I'm supposed to find her endlessly fascinating, and I am so bored.
Right.
Like, with her granddaughter.
Right. And with her own kids.
Yeah. Like, she just was, you know, I guess maybe that's part of this codependency abusive relationship where she was very concerned with her own thoughts and with Victor's, but, like, just couldn't get beyond those.
Yeah.
But that Avery and Victor were buddies, as Alex says it.
Yeah, and it doesn't focus too much on Victor being abusive to his kids.
Right.
But when Gary talks to his sister about when they were mourning their grandmother and his dad, like, essentially choked him because he was crying over his grandmother when their grandmother was the one person who cared about them, you know, that was probably the hardest part for me to read.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Because it was just so, like, rough. Like, it was so intense. And so you can really see how, like, Gary is having so much trouble and Alex is having so much trouble because they have such a bad relationship with their father. But then, like, Alex is even like, well, was I angry? Like, I had happy moments. I remember feeling. And you can see her coming out of that thinking, like, wait, is my life miserable? You know, it's really, it opens your mind, opens your eyes to, like, what the mind of an abused person in different ways can look like.
Yeah.
And it can look so black and white on how, you know, for some of us to be able to say, like, this is how you should feel. This is what you should do. And I just like that she was like, it's not black and white always.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of shades of gray. And, like, everyone also isn't blanket horrible. Like, he also was good to his granddaughter. He was good to his wife enough to where she was like, no, he's good to me sometimes.
Right.
And it's
interesting, too, that abusers are not abusers to every single person in their life.
Yes.
And so I think that it did help us not just paint one person one way, because people right. are going to know them as different things. And I think that's why when some of these things happen, like mass shootings and things like that, it's like, well, he never right. would have. And other people are like, well, yeah, he would have.
Yeah.
But it's just how you, the relationship you have with people.
Yes. And, you know, when someone does come out and is accused, like Johnny Depp, or yeah. someone is accused of being abusive in some way, yeah. and then other people, especially even other women, are like, no, he's not like that with me.
Yeah.
And that happened with Jenny Connor and Lena Dunham as mm-hmm. well, were saying that about that girl who accused, and I say that girl, she's the daughter of Harold Perrineau and Aurora Perrineau, just because I want to give her a name. I want to like recognize her. When she accused their friend of sexual mm-hmm. assault or whatever she accused him of, they were like, no, we know him. He would not.
Right.
But, like, everyone is not the same way with everyone else. Like,
yeah.
you just can't assume that.
Right. You know facets of people.
Right. You know, yeah, you know what they want you to know. Right. And that's it. You can't just blatantly disregard what someone else is saying just because, you know, you think you know someone completely. Right off the top. So, anyway, I think I'm glad in the end that, like, there wasn't some big heartfelt thing between Barbara and Alex, because I don't think that would have been true to Barbara's character.
Yeah, I agree. And I just don't think that would have left the reader as satisfied
right.
because it would have felt like a big leap. Like, you wanted it, but it was yeah. also, like, this family, you would not have expected that.
Right. I don't think we needed as much time on Sharon.
No.
I would, because at that point, it was like, I was like, wait, how do we... I don't think we needed as much time with Corey and Sharon.
I didn't care about them very much.
Right. Because I'm like, wait, how is this going to tie in?
Yeah, by the end of the book, I forgot.
Yeah, I'm like, I forgot who Sharon was.
Right.
Like, I was like, oh, that's right. She was the one sleeping with Corey.
Now, I will say what I liked about Corey, not because it advanced the plot at all,
mm-hmm.
but I like when he's first introduced as his own chapter and he is living at his ex-wife's house and he's talking about how tired he is, but the kids keep running in and out. And he's mm-hmm. like, I'm so tired. I wish they would leave me alone and be quiet. But also, they're my kids. I love them. Like,
yes, I can't be mad. That very well.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, well, that's like, okay, so when we were talking about Evie Drake, the uh-huh. book, and I was saying how lovely her prose was.
Yeah.
Jamie Attenberg's is so different in tone, but equally, like, it's just plainer and more direct.
Yes, yeah.
But in a way that's like, we've all had a thought phrase exactly that way.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I'm exhausted. I want them to leave me alone. But they're my kids. I love them.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't be that mad.
Right. And, but because Jamie Attenberg is so good at seamlessly switching to another character to just kind of give the perspective on someone that doesn't yeah. advance the plot, I felt like their chapters were unnecessary.
Yes,
like,
I do agree
I think
that.
She could have said all that and we didn't need extras.
Well, yeah, especially because it didn't move the plot
right,
forward.
Right,
because
it didn't move the plot forward.
It was a great note for a character that didn't matter.
Right, yeah. I kind of wonder if she wrote that because when they inevitably make this a show, they'll cast people in those roles.
That's a good point.
Like, that'll be more to the story.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
Anyway, overall, I liked that it kind of showed a different, like, just kind of a life of desperation and, like, from different ways. Like,
yeah.
you know, Victor can never get enough, mm-hmm. lying. And it showed, too, that, like, you know, people are not going to, in some ways, are not going to change like
yeah.
that. Like, you know, she kept thinking he would change and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex kind of comes into her own, and her daughter, like, she kind of wrestles with what to tell her daughter. Like, should
yeah.
she lie for her father? And I liked the way she talked about the future without, but it also, like, the point wasn't as much, like, we're not getting through this book to get to one point.
Mm-hmm.
This is just really talking about a day in the lives of all these people.
That's a good point. I think I tend to prefer things that are wrapped up well.
Right.
And not that this was not wrapped up well, it was just different. Like, I didn't have any expectation for their future at the end of it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
She
was able to tell the future that packed a lot of emotion very quickly, and I admire that.
Yeah.
Like, the way the way Sadie and Avery, it goes through their lives.
Yeah.
Like, I very much was almost, like, hurt when Sadie was just like, oh, you know your mom slept with our grandfather.
Yes.
Like, to me, that affected me in, like,
yeah.
two lines, and you don't even spend that much time with Sadie.
Right.
Like, she packs emotion really well,
yeah.
I think. And so, I like how she did those, like, she kind of, like, sped through their adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like she spent so much time in order to talk about the effects that it has on this generation.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I think she did a great job with it.
What would you give? Do you have anything else you want to talk about with the book?
No.
Okay. What would you give it out of stars?
Oh, five.
Okay.
Five stars. I thought it was very good. I I cared about all the storylines. That was a, except again, well, I guess 4.5 only because I didn't care for Corey and Sharon's chapters.
Okay.
I thought they were compelling in that she's a very good writer, mm-hmm. but I guess in my, well, in the end, I didn't care for Corey's. As I'm reading it, I'm like, how's this going to tie in? Because yep. I forgot that he was the EMT person. When I got to Sharon's chapter, I'm like, wait, because on the Kindle and in when you're reading, you know you're so close to the end. Yeah. So I'm like, wait, I don't, how's this going to tie in?
And I'm not going to go back and figure it out.
Right. So I guess by that point, I'm like, okay, wait, we didn't need this. It's very good writing because yeah. she's such a good writer. Yeah. So I think that writing could have been spent on the main characters.
Yeah.
Because there's so few outside characters in this mm-hmm. story. Like, there's like the bartenders, and even the bartender, like even all the characters, you can kind of picture them. Yeah. Like just the every person that you would run into.
That's how I felt about the woman when Gary was on his run or walk, when Alex calls him to tell him, and yes. there's that woman who's like yeah. looking at him to see if they yeah. can maybe get together.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I can totally picture her.
Right.
I could have done without that whole scene because it didn't matter.
I still liked it.
Yeah, I didn't. Here's what was interesting.
That's why I would have preferred Corey or Sharon.
Right. I didn't dislike that those pieces were added.
Mm-hmm.
But as a reader, I kept anticipating throughout the book that those people would come back in this
yes.
way.
Yeah.
They would do something. So I felt like I couldn't just read them and move on. I kept thinking about, right. Well, what about that woman?
Right. It was like a stylistic choice on her part.
Yeah.
To, and the same with the man in the wheelchair who did come back like once, but you're kind of like, wait, where's his daughter?
Right.
And that's why when she gave Corey a whole chapter, I thought mm-hmm. there, I was like, oh, he has a whole chapter. He's going to be something else. So I just like the way she did that. I like the way you're kind of jumping around into other people's psyches and seeing mm-hmm. like why they're feeling that way. Just because like, even with like the people who take the money or the man who takes the money on the ferry
mm-hmm.
ends up being the cousin of Sharon.
Right.
Just about kind of how like everyone is connected and like, you know, she's just throwing dollar bills at him and he's like offended.
Right.
Like, you know, just your actions affect other people in yeah. like a little way. It's like a little message and a big message in the story. Like everyone is going through something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would give it 4.5 stars only because of those chapters of Corey and Sharon's that I was like, they're so good. Like, yeah. she's such a good writer, but I was like so into seeing where this ended.
Yeah.
Like with this family that I didn't, in the end, I'm like, I guess I didn't really feel like I needed that, but I really liked this read.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good. Good suggestion.
Thank you. We're going to skip December for community read, but please tell us what you're reading.
Yes, we want to know.
I have come across like a couple of books lately that look really good, and I've put them on hold at the library, and most of them are like, you'll have this in about 9 weeks.
Oh,
so we got to take a break because I can't just keep buying a bunch of books. It's Christmas.
Yeah, really.
Soon. Happy Thanksgiving. We should have said that at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bethany messaged us on Instagram or replied to a comment on Instagram.
She commented.
Thank you. Saying that she read... well, first of all, she related to my battleship story with Maya.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I appreciate that highly. And, you know, honestly, comments like that are why I no longer like get upset in public. Like I always say like Milan never screamed me out of a store.
Yeah.
He would never. He would just never. He would not do that to me. Maya just gives no F's about anything
and
has
that
screamed
admirable.
Me out of many stores. They're both admirable in different ways.
Right.
I always think that
because yeah.
I'm like Milan would never wants to disappoint me.
One is more exhausting.
One. Yeah, exactly. Maya cares not at all.
I don't know, though. I will tell you this because I have a child who is very much a pleaser and wants my approval on
yes.
everything.
It is
that
still
is
exhausting.
Equally exhausting.
It, yes, exactly.
Because I don't want to take advantage of it. I want to make sure I'm
right.
stewarding it the right way.
Right. It's like, can't you just not care about me? And then
yeah.
with Maya, I'm like,
I was.
You're upsetting me.
I was washing my hair.
I don't say that to her, guys.
I was. You're disappointing me just in being here. I was washing my hair before church yesterday. I was leaning over the bathtub, and Norabeth came in and just started rubbing my back. And she was like, "Does this feel good?" And I was like, "Yes." And she was like, "I know you've had a long day."
Son of
it was eight. It was 8 in the morning, but I had not been able to cuddle with her because I was doing.
It
stuff.
Is honestly probably true at that point.
Yeah,
as
but
well.
I'm like, this is equally exhausting. Like, you're so sweet,
right?
But like,
it is.
I can't be with you.
It is. So I appreciated Bethany saying that on Instagram because. other moms and the camaraderie between moms is a lot of what gets me through those times, especially at Target. I've had a couple times I've had to leave Target. A couple times I've sat through the line with a screaming 3-year-old,
and I'm like, you handle it so well.
I'm like, other people get it. So I her saying that helps me to not leave Target. Anyway, and she recommended a book called The Island of Sea Women. And I went and checked it out on Goodreads, and it looks fascinating. So I will leave you with that. I have that on my, I think I have it on hold at the library currently. So I'm there before you, all of you suckers.
Unless you're in a different library system and can get it.
Unless you are not. Then maybe you can. So I cannot wait to read that. And thank you for your suggestions. That's what I'm reading. I have a couple other holds out, but we'll continue sharing them because we love sharing what we're reading. But and we love when you give us suggestions. We will not do a whole community read in December, but we're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk for a few minutes about Frozen 2.
Okay, so I took the girls.
Yes, sounded like a good idea at the time.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just tell the story.
Yes, yes.
You had gotten tickets to go see Frozen 2 on Sunday morning at 10:30.
First showing of the day, best moods of the day. That was my thought.
Like a heathen.
Yes, obviously.
We would have had to skip church to go.
Right.
You do you. But
I'm comfortable with my decision.
David works on Sundays and had said that he wanted to come see it with
Hassan the girls. Really wanted to go as well.
So it's nice that your husband was able to go on a weekend. We don't have that luxury again. And also, I'm glad that I was doing your shopping for you so you could go together without anything on your plate.
This is how we make it as a couple, by using other people.
Okay. Attenberg. Oh, no, what are the Tuchmans?
Yeah. Exactly.
So I decided to really like blow things out of the water and get tickets for the Thursday night showing before the movie had officially even released.
Right. Well, it was officially released.
Okay, just don't burst my bubble. So it announced on the 22nd that that's when it was opening day.
Yeah.
We went on the 21st. I thought that it was going to be mayhem.
I did too. I legitimately thought that too.
There were maybe 12 people in the theater when we went that night. How was it crowded when you went?
It was full.
Okay, well,
it wasn't insane, but like I think that the era of it being mayhem is over because everyone does assigned seats. Now, you said at your theater that they don't have assigned seats.
Yeah.
So that still surprises me. But now like at our theater, it wasn't crazy. I mean, it was 10:30 on a Sunday, but there were many showings. It was like 10:30, 10:45.
Let us also clarify, neither of us owns a theater. Hannah is just referring to the theater she chose personal, to go to.
I only go to this exact theater. I have only gone here since high school.
Yeah, but
so.
Like a chump, you have to stand in line to order snacks. Mine, we order from our seat.
That's true. But I was happy for that time in this moment because it gave the kids, like, they were so excited.
That's great.
So they had to, like, release that energy by jumping up and down and all of this. And so do that here in the lobby and not at our reclining seats.
Well, we got there, like, 45 minutes before showtime, which was really an hour and 15 minutes before showtime after the previews.
Right.
They were really into it, but it was also after their bedtime, like, by the time it started.
I'm impressed by their behavior.
I am, too. They were really great. All of that said...
Mm-hmm.
I loved Frozen 2.
Yes.
So much.
Mm-hmm.
The way I summed it up to you since we saw it first, sucker, is I thought the storyline was much better. Not much better. I thought the storyline was better than the first.
Right.
I liked the music of the first one better, but I thought it was really interesting and almost allegorical how the plot played out in how it was released right now.
Right. And I agree 100% with everything you said. So you go. Although, except I still like the music in the second one.
I like the music in the second one.
Right.
But did you like it better than the first?
I don't like it better or worse. I just have listened to Frozen 8 million times.
Yes.
So now I'm like, oh, I'm ready for new stuff.
So do we give spoilers for a kid's movie? Does it matter?
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a spoilery review. Well, especially like if you're a parent looking to know if it's like good for your kids.
Yeah. The answer is yes, it's good for your
kids. It is good for your kids. My kids are... especially Milan, just for whatever reason, which I think is based on attention, he is very easily scared. So you came home telling me your kids loved it, my kids would get scared.
Yes.
So all that to say, my 3-year-old sat through the whole thing and did not get nervous.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so impressive that they can make a movie that is good for a 3-year-old and grown-ups.
Yeah, totally. Like, I enjoyed it as much.
I enjoyed it just as much as the kids. I was so into the story. It was so well. I can't believe what they can do with animation these days.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
The water looks insanely real. The clothes looked real. Yeah. The hair looked real. And there were a couple parts that Milan was nervous about, but I liked, you pointed this out, there is no, like, bad, well, kind of, though, there is no bad guy that is a villain.
Not the villain that you typically see in a movie.
That you typically see. So, there, like, if your kids get a little bit nervous around that.
There's not, like, an Ursula or a Jafar.
Exactly. I was exactly thinking of Jafar, too. There is no character like that. So, I think, like, honestly, for, I would recommend it. For any kids. I mean, I talked to Milana and Maya about it, and I was like, there might be situations of peril. I was just like, this is all fake, but, you know, it's a story. I just had, like, that conversation with them, and I also was like, we're not leaving the theater.
So buckle up.
Yeah. So he ended up sitting with me for some of it, but he was totally fine with it still.
It's a super action-packed movie, and it's pretty intense.
That's what you said.
And emotions are pretty high, but I did not view it as scary.
No, not at all. It was so good. The humor is used perfectly well. Like, people, the laughter was just, like, crazy in our theater for Olaf. Like, they still, for a sequel, you know, like, jokes can seem played out. Characters can seem, like.
Well, there weren't stupid poop jokes. Like, I get tired of that.
Right. Olaf was just, like, making me laugh because he talks so much about, like, I'll understand this when I'm older. Right. And I was dying. Makes jokes about, like, going to therapy.
Yes.
And then.
And, like, the burden of maturity and understanding emotions.
Yes. It was so funny. Like, I cracked up.
Well, typically, I don't like the comic relief character in those movies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is kitschy.
Yeah. Or it is, like, poop jokes and fart jokes and stuff like that. But they made
him hilarious. You don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, you would think that. But they made him such, like, an insightful character.
Yeah.
The humor it was like going to, like, a Josh Gad stand-up or something.
Yes.
Where I was just really into it.
Yes, I was too. He did great.
But where I felt like it was really important as a vehicle to share with kids is, so basically, Elsa, Anna, Kristoff, Sven, and Olaf are trying to save Arendelle for this mysterious force that is threatening the town and is speaking to Elsa. So they go into this enchanted forest that has been, I don't know, like, separated from the kingdom forever.
Right.
And there's a whole other group of people, the Northaldra, that
seemingly representative of an indigenous tribe.
Yes. And all we know is that back when Elsa and Anna's father was a child, there was a big war and battle between the Northaldra and the Arendellians. How would we say
That's what she said.
Oh, did she?
She said good. When they saw the soldiers.
Okay. And you are made to believe that it was the Northaldra who basically attacked first.
Right, right, right. They were the, like, it was basically, you're made to believe that the Arendellians, as a gift, helped out the Northuldra, and then everything went south.
Yeah, the Arendellians built a dam that was supposed to
keep everything away. People are still going to watch it. Maybe not.
Instead of spoilers.
Yes, but for people who want to see it. No, anyway, it's fine.
I felt like it was important to say this part.
Okay.
So, basically, Elsa and Anna are on a mission to uncover the truth.
Right.
And what you find
is, why things went south in this relationship between these two people.
Yes. And what you find is that, again, big spoiler.
Right.
What the Arendellians gave to the Northuldra under the guise of helping them was meant to make them reliant on Arendelle and basically
and
zap all of their resources.
Yes.
And I felt like it was such a good way to talk about how that is so real to what our country did in its founding.
Yeah.
And even what is happening right now with our immigration crisis, that we are saying that we are strengthening something that we are ripping apart.
Oh, totally. That's a very good point.
And I felt like it was a really good way to bring that up in a way that you could talk to kids about, that didn't feel intimidating or scary, or it is like the truth and factual, to be able to say, well, do you remember
historical.
What King, whatever,
I don't know,
something did to
Rainyard or something like that.
Oh, yes, something like that.
Right.
How the Northuldra were misunderstood. And they were made to seem like they were the bad guys, and really they were not. And I don't know. I felt like it was such a mature and smart storyline.
It was. And They also did consult. I read a blurb. I didn't read the whole article about how they made sure to consult with like indigenous tribes make sure that like the representation of indigenous people was respectful and appropriate.
That's wonderful. I had not read that.
I'm glad that I read that before, because I would have wondered, because mm-hmm. it is very clear, especially once you get to the when Elsa sees like what really happened, it's very clear that this is meant to be like kind of a version of, you know, and I also thought this came out in November.
Yeah.
And it opens up with like a fall harvest feast.
Yes.
Which is what Thanksgiving was originally. Which is what,
after the smallpox and all that.
Right. After it's remembered as a fall harvest feast between like colonizers and the colonized. And that's not what it was historically. Right. But I like that they brought this up in November, which is also just a time when we misremember the relationship between Europeans and first like indigenous people in this country. Because there is a very clear picture of what Europeans did to indigenous people.
Yes.
And so if I hadn't known ahead of time that they made sure that like everything was respectfully and properly portrayed, mm-hmm. I would have wondered like what indigenous people thought about it.
Yeah. But
as a group, like there are so many different tribes of indigenous people. I don't want to like group everyone together, but
I think they even show like the battle scene is not scary.
Right. That I wonder too, it is not violent Mm-mm. in a way that you're going to be like, oh wait, my child shouldn't watch
this.
No,
you see like some swords, but you don't see,
there's no anything. Blood.
No, it's you nothing don't even like see that. Anyone fall.
Right. Know? Yeah. Yeah. So it's still very appropriate. Like somehow they, you know, even with old movies, sometimes I'm like, oh, this will be better for them to watch so I can explain this, but it's still like too scary for them.
Can I tell you something else as a theme that I love that Frozen
has
done? Okay. I love that even throughout the movie, you see Kristoff trying to figure out how to propose to Elsa. So there's obviously
Anna,
that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, to Anna through that love story.
Mm-hmm.
I love that thematically the central relationship is of the sisters.
Yes.
And
I've always loved that about Frozen.
Totally. I also love that they did not introduce a love story for Elsa.
Yes.
So much, because I think it would have cheapened it to feel
it
like
it would have.
Kristoff has Anna, like that's their love story that started in the first one, and look at it grow in the second. I thought that was natural and
that
good.
That was perfect, yes.
But I think it would have cheapened it for then Elsa to have fallen in love with someone that she met on this journey.
Yeah, because it wasn't about that for her.
No.
And it also was... I like portraying people that don't need someone.
Well,
and Elsa and Anna and Kristoff don't need each other either, but like it's fine to portray people that don't have a Prince Charming.
Yeah, because so much of this movie is Elsa's quest to find out her true identity and understand why she is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if in that she had only found someone else.
Oh, it would have been
very cheap.
To
help inform her identity.
Yeah.
I would have left feeling like, well, I want to make sure my girls know that
exactly.
their identity is not based on whether they have a boyfriend.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
So I was like a huge proponent of how they played that. And even that in Anna having this serious relationship with Kristoff, it didn't do anything to minimize her relationship with Elsa.
Exactly.
Like, that was still very strong.
The reason I first saw Frozen when I was pregnant with Milan, and I remember thinking, I love this movie because it really values family bonds over romantic bonds. And, you know, in the end of Frozen, the bond that is the true love's thing is like between sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful in that way. And in this one too, it's so powerful just to the point of being campy when I don't think they get that far.
Right. Yeah. It's not quite schmaltzy.
It's not. Yeah. So I like the way they played that because it's just really valuable. Like you can have all these things. Like you can have like a strong relationship with your family and you can have a strong relationship with your significant other and like respect all those things and everything. Like you also can have a journey on your own. You don't need to have a partner. And all of them go through these journeys somehow separately and
separately. That a lot of the movie Anna is not with Kristoff even.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, he's the
the
guy helping her. Like he kind of like leaves her at some point.
Right. And he leaves her. She
and
goes
there's
on.
A misunderstanding.
It's right. Like, right. Right.
But it's
not
well,
leaves her in the relationship, but like literally walks away for different reasons. And
that are ultimately good intentioned, but it's just
right,
like
right, right.
interesting.
Yeah. It's all played very well. It isn't like, wait, why did they have this big fight? Which doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's none. It's like common misunderstandings that you have in your day-to-day relationship. Right. That's funny.
And then when he eventually comes back, I love the support level. Like, he's like, what do you need? He's not like, I'm here to save the day.
Right.
It's like, very,
great, Kristoff is here.
Right. It's very appropriate in every way, and it shows like a very supportive relationship, and it shows people being strong on their own, and I think that's fantastic, and I love that.
And then my last note about it, and then I'll be done gushing about Frozen 2, is I also love at the very end how it also shows that you do not have to do a family obligation. You can buck tradition to start your own path.
Yes. That's what I was going
to
say.
And it does not have to be anything contentious or dramatic,
mm-hmm.
but you can follow your identity and what's best for you and do what you need.
Right. And I felt like it honored the story honored Anna's bravery quite well, because she is such an important character because she doesn't have powers,
right.
but she also is more brave than Elsa usually. And she is an excellent role model. I love how the story ends for her. Like, it just, it's very, to me, I'm like, this is, it makes her, because, you know, Elsa is just, there's something about Elsa that a lot of people want to be.
Uh-huh.
But I have seen a lot more Anna costumes this time around. And
Anna Blair is living in her Anna costume right now. And I'm happy about it.
It's becoming, like, I'm like, what's this giant hole in your Anna costume?
Well, we've only had that for, like, 3 weeks. So
I know. She lives in it. Like, that's all I see her in.
Her Jessie costume and her Anna costume.
Yeah. So I just, like, Anna is such an important character, and so was Elsa. It was just so good.
Yeah, it was great. Well, do you identify more as an Elsa or an Anna?
I mean, I do like to think of myself as having powers.
You are pretty cold.
No, I don't know. I don't. I guess I like every character.
I do, too. Maybe, everyone is so likable.
Maybe I relate as Olaf because I'm constantly making jokes in uncomfortable situations.
I was going to say, like, Sven, to speak for you.
Oh, yeah. It was great. They're so talented. They did a great job writing the story. It was very sensitive and appropriate and gave a lot of good messages.
And I'm just so thrilled for this cast.
Yes.
Because I think it's been so well cast, and I love them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big fans from
Five stars, 100%.
All right. Well, I hope everyone has a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week talking about something.
Something. We'll see. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy December. Decorate for whatever holidays you celebrate coming up, and we'll talk soon.
And thank you for all of the ratings and reviews we've been getting. The comments, the DMs, truly the reviews, they just really make our day. Thank you 100%. All so much.
Yes.